In Jeremiah, the 14, go ahead and get turned over there. Jeremiah 14, and I'm going to read verse 10 through 16. Looks like my computer has gone to sleep. Jeremiah 14, 10 through 16. Thus says the Lord to the people. Thus they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And I said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword nor the famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. Have I not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them? They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them, them nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness out on them. To listen to God making a declaration like this, pretty astounding when we stop to think about it. He doesn't cut these people any slack at all. And if you look back in history, you can understand why. Every time they cried to God and God relented and oh, God did not. But then they turned right around and went right back into it again. Same old stuff over and over and over again. But God had finally told them, this is it. I've had it. I've had it with you. I'm going to pour wickedness out over you or upon you. You know, this makes me think about something that's very interesting. And I sure wish I had my charts. But I'll get by. Did you know that sharks are notorious for swallowing just about anything? They're kind of like a goat. They just eat anything. People have found books, yeah, bottles, tablecloths, nails, and so on and so forth inside of sharks. Clearly, they have large appetites. An indiscriminate taste, no doubt about it. But there is a small fish, a very small fish, and the fish is called a sea hedgehog or an urchin. Now, this small fish has spikes all around it. And if, perchance, and of course it defends itself by puffing up, you've heard of this, into a round ball. But if a shark swallows a hedgehog, you know what happens? Well, the hedgehog swells up. And the hedgehog starts slicing and dicing the inside of this shark until sooner or later it emerges through the wall of the shark's stomach. And the shark dies. Yeah, that's right. They cannot live whenever this thing cuts them all to pieces. And I'm thinking, whoa, man, that's pretty dangerous when you stop to think about it. As far as hedgehogs, I mean, as far as sharks go, I don't know if I would necessarily be concerned about a shark per se. But this hedgehog can be really, really dangerous. Just look at that little thing. But unfortunately, there are many people that are much like sharks. They swallow any idea that comes along. We hear them say, oh, I heard this from a prophet. I heard it from a prophet. And I heard him say, these things are so, and oh, so they've got to be true. Well, it's kind of amazing how people will consult so-called self-proclaimed prophets in the world today. Some people want to know if they should get married or how to solve a marital problem or, whatever. And the answers are clearly the prophet's own opinion. Often, in fact, biblically incorrect. But a true prophet never contradicts God's teaching. If you look at Deuteronomy 13, the first 5 verses with me, God says, if there arise a prophet among you, or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign and a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage to entice you away from the way of the Lord your God that he commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. A true prophet. Now, if this prophet came from God, when speaking of future events, is always correct. He doesn't make a prediction and say, let's see what happens. No. He knows because he got the information from God that it's going to happen. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word, God says, in my name, which I did not command him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Well, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. But today, we have to understand the gift of prophecy is something that has come to an end. It has, the miraculous ability to prophesy has come to an end. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Now hold it a minute. Do you mean that they're false prophecies and that's why they fail? No, that's not what he's talking about. If you look at this, look at the words he uses. Prophecies, they will fail. Tongues, they will cease. Knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about miraculous gifts. And he said, all of them are going to come to an end. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is complete or perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. The sad thing is that there are many people who still prefer lies. That's sad. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 5 and 31, lamented that the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule by their own power. And listen to what God says, my people love to have it so. This is what concerns me today. There are those who are proclaiming themselves to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are proclaiming false and damnable doctrines. And the people love to have it so. I just saw an event of this last week. Nearly 400 responses to one little post. Oh, you poor guy, they're picking on you. You keep on preaching, and the people love to have it so. And I can imagine this has got to be just a small representation of the many that are total. Drew informed me that this preacher has been going around and preaching meetings and congregations and influencing young people. And in fact, getting some of them to move to the area where he is. That's how evangelistic he is about his doctrine. He's bound determined he's going to get people to buy it. Sad. They prophesy to you falsely. You don't ever want to believe a prophet who does not come from God. If it hasn't got the credentials, you don't have any reason to be afraid of him. But then we also hear them say, the preacher told me. Well, that'd be fine if he told you the truth. But what if he didn't tell you the truth? Now, I want to give you this warning. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Peter says, there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. And look at what they'll do. They'll bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. You better have something more reliable than what the preacher said. Now, did this come to pass? Well, yeah. According to Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5, take heed that no one deceives you. Why? Because many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. Yeah, even false Christs. And we as Christians are told not to believe everything we hear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Satan and his followers disguise themselves so they won't be detected. I mean, this fellow who's preaching this false doctrine, why, he's a slick-looking dude. And, I mean, I think he could probably charm the bark off a tree. And, oh, he's so demonstrative. But that doesn't mean he's telling the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 down through 15. Paul says, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which we boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. What do we have to do? We've got to check what they say. We've got to be like the Bereans who were in Acts 17:11. It said that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? What made them fair-minded? They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Not only do we check what they say, but we also check what comes from their life. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 7 with me, please. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, now listen to it, is cut down and thrown into the fire. What is a lesson, Lord? Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. It doesn't take long looking at the fruit of someone teaching a false doctrine to start seeing things unfold that are quite obviously in error. Oh, they start from a small point and they get something that gets people riled up, but they keep on going and they keep on going. I love this next one. This one says, now, I read it in a book, and it said, well, let me tell you something. That's one of the problems with young preachers these days. They spend more of their time in books written by men than they do in God's Word. And you see quotes from men of the world and men of denominationalism sneaking in and taking a place in their lessons. And pretty soon, John MacArthur is an authority. A rank Calvinist, by the way. And that's the way it goes. Now, I ain't opposed to reading books. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't read for fun. I read because I want to know something. And so I choose what I read on that basis. But if a book is written by a man, what can I expect to get from it? Man's opinion. Another warning. False teachers who deceive people. But notice here in Colossians 2 and 4. Anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. And that's what kind of words are in books written by men. And false teachers have a tendency to swell with great empty words. Kind of like the puffer fish. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure you through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. And what do they do it for? To promote themselves. That's what they try to do. Romans 16, 18 says, for those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Some people just get bounced around by every new idea that comes along. From one time to the next, you never know what you're going to hear out of them. But you know, according to Ephesians 4:14, we are not to be children tossed to and fro by every wind and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of evil plotting. We need to guard ourselves against that. And we need to remember, there's a basic fact that we have to keep in mind. And that fact is so simple. Anything different is not to be accepted. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. Beginning with verse 6, I marvel that you are turning so soon from him who called you by the grace of Christ to a different gospel. There's the different gospel there, see. Which is not another, really. In other words, it's really not a different one. But there are some who trouble you and want to, get it, pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, here's what Paul's admonition is. But if we, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. That puts the bee right back on us, doesn't it? We've got to be sure that what we are receiving came from God and not off the top of some young man's head. I guess we all know that Some people just swallow anything that comes along. But does that describe you? Does that describe you? I mean, according to Proverbs, some people believe everything they're told. The simple believes every word. But listen to this. The prudent considers well his steps. I guess it's a choice we have to make. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, 12 and 13, what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. What does that mean? Put away from yourselves the evil person. Don't let that false teacher get a foothold. In fact, don't tolerate false teaching at all. Why? Well, turn over to 2 Corinthians 11 with me and we're going to see. I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, what's the problem? You may well put up with it. That's what Paul's concerned about. And it's just as true now as it was when Paul wrote it. Just as true. We need to guard ourselves. We need to be sure of ourselves. And don't be deceived by people who tell you, well, if it's this way, that's too hard. And if it's this way, no, don't do that. You understand that the gospel is simple, it's straightforward, and there's no weird complications in it. You don't have to grab on to some false doctrine to prove things. You've got to adhere to what God's word says, and that alone.